Alpha, you know what I need.
Teenagers with attitude.
That's correct, Alpha.
Teenagers with attitude.
What's up?
Everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of grown adults talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters, and sometimes I don't have one for this one. It's fucking weird. It's a weird episode.
We say that every week, but we always mean it.
Yeah, this one is weird in like not the normal Power Rangers weird way.
It seems to be like out of order, this one. It's like they took the scenes and like shuffled them, and they're not in the same order they would be normally.
Well, a lot of times, I mean, listen, I love this show. We've been talking about it for like 80 hours at this point, which is upsetting. But the thing about it is like it often has those narrative things where it's like, did they even put this in the right order? That's normal. What's not normal is me staring at a scene and literally just not understanding what is happening. and we get that a couple times in this one.
I'm kind of worried that that's not a normal thing for you watching this
show. No, listen, I know exactly what's happening in Power Rangers at all times. I am in tune with the morphing grid, so it speaks through me. That's how I do this podcast.
Up until now, it's all made perfect sense.
So this week, I'm Zach, and this week, we are joined by Simon.
Hello.
Joel.
Hey, everyone.
Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Matt.
It's Matt.
And we have our buddy Wade back.
Hey, I'd say I'm glad to be back, but then I watched this episode and I'm not sure anymore.
No, this episode's dope. You don't know what you're talking about.
You were supposed to be on last week and were sick, which I'm glad you're feeling better. But
I'm still sick, but I'm not so sick that I can't talk.
That's good. I tweeted you and we're like, hey, you want to do this? And you're like, yeah. And then like 30 minutes later, you were like, what is happening?
My body is melting.
I was like, oh, what episode are you guys on? You're like, oh, the first episode of Island Illusion. I'm like, oh God, that episode. No.
Oh, yeah. Did you remember it?
I watched it maybe about like a couple months ago.
Oh, really? Okay, cool. Yeah, I haven't, I think we've mentioned a couple times when we'll ask Simon, like, hey, what happens next? Because he's watched, like, all the weapons.
Yeah, I'm up to
Zio,
Zio now.
Right?
I'm up to almost the end of Zio, and let me tell you, there is a light at the end of the tunnel, people. Zio is amazing.
I have heard people
Zio's
say
great.
That Zio is really
I resent
good.
Your implication that, like, what we're watching now isn't amazing.
No, you're right. Yes.
But I think most of the rest of us have not. I mean, I haven't really watched this ahead of time. Occasionally we'll have an episode I remember pretty well, but I didn't remember this at all, really. In fact, the only reason I knew it was coming up was because like when I do the tiny bit of prep work I do for these things, sometimes it'll be like, this monster reappears in Island of Illusion. And I was like, is this just a clip show? Is it the whole thing?
Basically.
So it's not really. There are clip show parts in next week's episode, but it's not totally a clip show.
It's more of a rear projection show.
Yeah. In fact, this shit is so, like, we'll get to it in a little bit. We'll go through our more fact nominal first.
I mean, Power Rangers is already a clip show, so the fact that it's a clip show of a clip show that just cancels itself out, that makes it not a clip show. So you're fine.
Is that really how it works?
Really, if you think about it, all TV is a clip show.
Yeah.
If you really think about it.
You just blew my fucking mind, dude. Holy shit.
I told you. Also, Simone, I'm not sure it cancels itself out so much as it just tears a rift in the space-time continuum and opens up.
Also,
maybe
just a little bit of that, too.
Also, Joel, I told you not to get high and then come on this podcast. We've talked about this before.
whoa. We're on a podcast.
This is going in your performance review.
Zach, we can't help it. We're high on Power Rangers.
Yeah. Okay. Good. We're high on life, or high on
morphine.
High on punching.
Wait.
Well, didn't we talk about how we think that they're given some kind of, like, Jason is clearly high on something when he's fighting?
I think it's more that, like, the natural endorphins you get while morphed.
Sure.
Like, pump you up, and then when you unmorph, you're left with a crippling, like, debilitating low.
Jason is high on justice.
Yes, exactly.
And woodlust. Yes. Which is not what you think it is.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Only for Tommy. Okay.
No, like, bloodlust, but for wood.
Right, no, I got it. I was making a dick joke. So, okay, let's move on. After that classy opening. So, this week I've got a couple, I guess they're more, I should just start calling them news. Do I have to call them more fact news anymore? Will you guys get mad at
me? Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Right, so.
As a loyal listener, I will be disappointed.
Okay. So, we have.
It's an important part of the show for us to commit to our terrible names and puns.
Yeah, that literally I did because you said it and it was bad and then you were like, great. And it fucking came back on me real bad.
Well, that is the correct way of listening.
Yeah, I did. It was a bad call. So we've got to, first of all, and like, listen, I'm sorry if anybody is offended by this or thinks I'm taking this lightly, cause I'm kind of gonna take it lightly cause it's so fucking ridiculous. But if you are upset, like, skip ahead 5 minutes. A Power Ranger killed his roommate. Mm-hmm. This happened for real. His name is Ricardo Medina Jr. He was the Red Ranger in Wild Force. And, this happened last year, actually. Early last year, January 31st, 2015. And originally, there was, it had come out that, like, they were in an argument over his, over his girlfriend, some kind of dispute or fight. And like, they didn't charge him because they said it was self-defense and they just never brought him in. Or they did bring him in, but let him go. They didn't arraign him for anything. Apparently as of like last week, they went ahead and they have pulled him in and charged him.
I don't think self-defense gets you off from killing a guy. Like, I'm pretty sure you still have to stand trial for that.
No, but, I mean, it doesn't get you charged with murder. It, like, at worst, it's maybe manslaughter, but, like, you have to prove it's
right,
justified,
but, like,
I think.
You still have to get charged with
murder,
something and taken to court. Like, they don't just say, oh, well, you clearly had a good reason
yeah,
for this,
course,
you can
but,
go for
I mean, if...
Yeah, you're
how,
right.
How many
that,
monsters
that's true.
Have the Rangers killed in self-defense?
Yeah.
It's perfectly valid.
That's true, yeah. They never got to go to trial for that shit.
Angel Grove, and they had the right to defend their property.
I think they have a deal with the police that if they can get back to the command center and call base before the police get them.
Call home base, yeah, exactly.
Oh my god, is the Power Rangers just one giant metaphor for the castle doctrine?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So, that's crazy, and like, obviously I'm not like, ooh, I hope he gets off, but I do hope it was self-defense, just because I hope he didn't kill somebody in cold blood.
Yeah, murder's never good.
Right. But also, and I have to get into this, he stabbed him to death with a samurai sword.
As is the American
how
custom.
Is there a more Power Rangers way to get arrested for murdering
yeah, stomping
somebody?
On them
no,
with a giant
right?
robot.
If you summon your robot.
Yeah, I guess
that's
it.
After he stabbed him with the sword, did he turn around slow and dramatic like and like sheath his sword and then the victim fell backwards and exploded?
Oh, yeah. Man.
I'm going to hell.
You're going to hell for that one.
I was about to say, a man
when died. I started this, I knew this would happen, and I'm just glad it was you who said it and not me.
Way to jump on the metaphorical grenade.
People die
Dave.
Every day.
Yeah, the guess that we can never ask back if people get upset. Perfect.
But to get even more crazy, I'm sorry, Ricardo Medina Jr. was also a he would come back for other roles on the show, mostly like one note monsters, but in Power Rangers Samurai, which was just a couple of years ago, and I can't fucking believe this happened, but he played a character who was a samurai who had a cursed sword that drove him to kill people. I'm not making this up. That actually
taking
happened.
Taking method acting to kind of a
we
new
are,
level
we're
there.
We're looking
I think.
Less here, people.
I'm
sure this isn't Jared Leto.
I was talking about this. Yeah. I was talking about this with previous guest, Jules, who said, oh god, the monkey's paw wish I made has come true.
And Jules is going to hell. That's a three combo right there.
So we got, so they wish for real Power Rangers, and it didn't turn out exactly how we were hoping. But, you know, and all joking aside, like, I certainly hope that, you know, thoughts to that person's family and friends, and hopefully that, I hope that it was self-defense, and I will be watching it, and I'm sorry, but, like, there's no way that we weren't going to make jokes
like, either
about
way,
this.
Hopefully
it's too bizarre.
The truth comes to life, and...
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Know, we all had
yeah,
a good time
right.
here today.
Whatever happened.
Attitude, but just remember, don't kill people.
No, and don't do it with the samurai. And also, why the well, I guess he was a power... Like, yeah, of course he's got a samurai sword just sitting there. I guess that makes sense.
That's... No! Just because you played a Power Ranger on TV doesn't mean you just happen to have a real samurai sword in your home, which you can use to kill people with.
If you...
You're saying something insane right
if
now.
If you played a character on TV... That had an actual katana, you wouldn't go buy one just like for fun.
I'd buy a prop. I would buy a real sword.
You wouldn't get a real one? Oh, yeah. I would. I guess that's just me. I also wouldn't go buy a real Zord. I guess that's the one I wouldn't do.
Do you think like some people have had a lot of roles in their lives? Do you think everyone just goes around and buys whatever weapons they're?
I mean, yeah, that's the only way to live.
Yeah, that's why, Daniel Craig has, like, a weird alien gauntlet thing, and
Adam Driver has a crossed guard lightsaber. Yeah. Yeah.
Also, yes, I did just make a
I was gonna say, I cannot believe, like, that's
you're
the
welcome.
First place your mind
you
went.
You went for the most obvious Daniel Craig role.
I have a funny story about that. Cowboys and Aliens is the first date that I took my girlfriend to.
You are incredibly lucky she's still with you.
Holy Jesus. Shit.
Yep. Man. Yep, and now our anniversary is to find what looks like the dumbest movie out at that date in summer movie theater.
Although that does maybe put some input in perspective why she tolerates all this Power Rangers crap you do.
So,
tolerate is like
real
really
quick
strong.
Question around the horn. Is Cowboys and Aliens the single biggest gap, in film history between like really great title and really bad movie?
I like that movie. It's not great, but there's a point where it is revealed that the aliens are literally there to steal their gold. and Harrison Ford's character looks at the person who's giving exposition and goes, "That's stupid."
Also, I think that prize goes to Clockstoppers, actually.
What is Clockstoppers?
That's a movie directed by Jonathan Frakes about some kids who find some kind of
wait.
Machine.
Was that
really
like
bad.
A was that like a fucking Nick movie, or am I thinking of some weird?
I know what movie you're talking about. I've never
it's
seen
a bad,
it.
Bad movie.
Did you watch it just because Jonathan Frakes directed it?
No, I think like my uncle took us to see a movie and that was.
Oh, okay.
Hold on, I gotta look this up now.
But I'm glad that you knew that off the top of your head.
I mean. You know, it's
yeah, it is his
close
fucking movie
to being called Clog Blockers. So that would have been better. And the movie is really bad, so...
Clockfuckers could almost be an alternate title for sex criminals, if you think about it.
Fucking coming soon to a really seedy theater near you, Cockstoppers, the porn parody of Clockstoppers.
I don't think porn parody films, like, go to movie theaters most of the time. Really,
well, maybe not the movie theaters you visit.
I didn't specify a movie theater. I just said a seedy theater.
Oh, that's fair.
There's some other shit going on, my friend.
All right. So let's move on from that fun opener to something a little goofier, which is the we talked about it a little bit before when the costumes and Zord came out for it, but the newest Sentai that comes out next year, Dobutsu Sentai Jiuger. Sorry. I'm sorry, everyone. So we had talked about that they had had, they have like an animal theme, to their suits and to their Zords and stuff. And that's cool. They've definitely done that before. But what they haven't done, at least to my knowledge, is, and they released a teaser for the show, like last week. The premise of the show is that the Red Ranger, and I don't speak Japanese, so like, sorry if I get the details wrong, goes to or is teleported to, a world that is inhabited by anthropomorphic animals, and he makes friends with some of them, and they come back with him and become Power Rangers, and they can take the shape, the like disguise of humans. But like the Lion Ranger is literally a lion man, and the Shark Ranger is a shark girl, et cetera, et cetera.
Is there a
That's
lava
fucking
boy?
That's awesome.
Too?
Fuck you! I'm no gonna make boy. That joke, you son of a bitch.
Shark Girl and Lava Boy. That's another movie in that. Like,
I'm really sorry to anybody who listens to this show and doesn't watch bad movies.
I think if you listen to this show and don't watch bad movies, you're a very unique specimen of a person.
I feel like Shark Boy and Lava Girls kind of forced itself upon being an inside joke for us because, like, once you start watching Power Rangers on Netflix, it immediately starts recommending that movie specifically.
Totally,
and I don't know why.
That's true, yeah. Well, I mean, I kind of get it. But,
also, like,
yeah.
Calling that movie a bad movie is a slap in the face for movies that are merely bad. Holy shit, that movie sucks.
A horrible movie. So, yeah, so literally it's people in, like, full body, what would kind of be like the monster suits in most Sentai, but they're Rangers.
It's kind of a Doggy Kruger sort
That's
of
really
thing.
Yeah, it's a really cool idea.
When you started that sentence, I thought you were explaining what Shark Boy and Lava Girl were, and then I got really confused. because like, that movie, the
literally,
costumes
like
that
the...
really are kind of like the monster suits in Sentai.
And also, we didn't mention it, but, like, or I didn't mention it yet, but we've talked about it before that we wished the crazy Power Rangers stuff, like, intersected with their school lives more in Mighty Morphin. And I know that happens more later, in the show, but right away in the teaser that they released, it's these, like, it's like a lion dude going fucking bowling at a normal bowling alley and hitting a strike and, like, dancing around. And, like, that appeals to me pretty deeply. I'm pretty excited to give that a shot. Now, my question is, there's no way that they do this in the English version, the Power Rangers version, right?
Nope.
Like,
there's no
way. Yeah, it's too goofy,
impossible.
Right?
They probably just skip a lot of this series. I don't know.
I don't know if they'll skip it, but I hope they don't, because I still think it looks cool, but man.
Well, they never use the live action non-morphed stuff in Power Rangers anyway, like from Sentai.
Oh, you know, that's true. I didn't think about that. All their footage would have one Japanese dude in it. So they couldn't, like, that's true. They can't just grab
it'd really,
it wholesale.
It'd be really
like
easy to overlook the anthropomorphic animals thing, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man.
And, like, sidestep the whole furry issue that way, too.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that is
kind of a hairy situation.
I would like
situation.
Them to.
God damn
oh,
it.
You fucking asshole.
I'm never coming back.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So yeah, I hope they bring it over that way. They won't. It's
yeah, it's a beast of a problem.
It's gonna be teenagers.
I'm gonna kick you off this podcast if you don't stop it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Okay. So yes, I'm very excited for that show. At least the Japanese version. We will see what happens. And hopefully it's good. Just another quick note. Since last time we recorded, the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 0 has come out and it's great. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. Give it a shot if you like
can find
stuff.
It. It's been selling pretty hot.
Yeah, I just got it on Comixology, but I have heard that the physical copies are pretty hard to come by. But it's pretty enjoyable. Just kind of setting up everything. But I will say that the Bulk and Skull stuff has like Skull's beret with the question mark on it. Like they have some of the exact clothing.
I really love that they, bothered to update all of the Rangers' outfits to be, more modern, but like for Bulk and Skull,
yeah,
they didn't really
Bulk
need to change
Skull.
Anything.
Yeah, they were just like
there's a timeless quality to their outfits.
Yeah,
and that
yeah,
they're
I agree. That's...
they don't really have a time in which they fit.
Always out of time.
They're out of place no matter when you have them.
Yep.
All right. So that's what I got. But let's take a quick break, and we'll come back and start the episode. Everybody, welcome back. In between or during our break, Matt morphed into Luke.
Yep, it happened. I witnessed it personally.
We all become Luke eventually. It was bound to happen to Matt.
Yeah, you either die a Matt or you live long enough to see yourself become a Luke. And
eventually, this podcast will be 6 tracks of Luke just talking about stuff. It's gonna happen.
Welcome to hell, ladies and gentlemen.
Is that why I like Metal Gear?
Yep. All of a sudden. So, this is, I guess we didn't say it. This is episode 28, Island of Illusion, part 1. And...
You did sort of allude to it earlier.
I'm going
so
to
it's kind of our Island of Illusion.
Murder you.
So I missed the beginning of this. What was the Morpac Nominal about? Did you find another crew member to discuss?
I didn't do a crew member because you weren't here. So I'll save that for next week.
We had other stuff to talk about. You'll have to wait till the episode comes out.
We talked about the Red Ranger who...
No, don't tell him.
No, okay.
No, I guess I'll have to just subscribe on iTunes.
Subscribe
to Lineages of Attitude.
Have to put it together based on the hints we give throughout this podcast.
All right, so we...
Drink your Ovaltine.
We open this week...
Do they still make Ovaltine?
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They also still make Nesquik, which I didn't realize.
Yeah, I actually don't know what Ovaltine is. Is it just Nesquik?
Yeah, pretty much. It's supposed to be healthier
for you. It's supposed to be a little healthier, like there's stuff in it. It's like an old-timey version.
It sounds
of
like a
Nesquik.
Mouthwash.
No, it's a, I mean, it's a chocolate drink. It's just.
No, I think of it as like, it sounds like Ensure or something.
Yeah, that's true. It kind of does.
It's been around a long, long ass time. Mm. Like
at least since the 40s.
Yeah.
It's not very good. So.
Wow.
Yeah, sorry.
Fucking hot takes on Ovaltine.
I would rather.
Guess who's not sponsoring this podcast?
I'd rather drink Yoo-Hoo.
Anyway.
How about that? And Yoo-Hoo's terrible. So. Yeah.
So, we're going to discuss Land of Illusion, starring Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck.
No. Also not Land of Illusion.
That's Castle of Illusion starring Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's two of them.
Yeah. Also not Land of Illusion.
There's Land of Illusion and also
it's
a
like
Castle
a trilogy,
of Illusion.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, also not the song by 10,000 Maniacs. Not that either. It's just an episode of Power Rangers.
Is it the episode where Sailor Mercury gets Shine Aqua Illusion?
Nope, not that either. That's a different thing.
is it, are we going to talk about
Land of Confusion?
I fucking hate all of you. Okay.
The Disturbed song?
With that music video with the fucking weird puppets?
We're moving on. So this episode opens with Zach just dancing.
Zach, if you think we're moving on from this joke, you're on an island of delusion.
I'm quitting the podcast and moving to Canada.
Great. Welcome to Teenagers of Attitude. I'm your new host, Luke.
It's fine. You can come over, Zach. I'll in my island of illusions.
So
nowhere is safe.
So Zach is dancing and he is having a crisis of confidence for some reason.
Yep.
Okay, so this is the fucking weird thing, all right? The whole conceit of this episode is that Zach has a dance competition coming up, and, like, okay, yes. I'm with you so far, but he's incredibly nervous about it, and he doesn't think, like, he can do it.
Yep.
There are, okay, the characters in the show do not have a lot of defining characteristics, just straight up, full stop. These are one-dimensional characters. There are two things we know about Zach. Mm-hmm. One, he's really good at dancing. Two, he is incredibly self-confident.
Yeah, like, he literally, even when he gets shot down repeatedly by the same girl, he's, like, self-confident to the point of almost kind of delusional. So the fact
that... Yeah, but I can see the idea that he's got a contest coming up, and now he's, like... Yeah, he knows he's a good dancer, but is he the best dancer?
Yeah, the only two entrants in this contest are Zach and Michael Jackson.
Well, yeah, exactly. Okay. I'd be stressed about in that case, if I were him. Yeah.
I don't know, man. He's suddenly become, like, super mopey and, like, just... It's like, I don't know, guys.
We've seen this before. Whenever it's a character spotlight episode, like when Jason had his, like, lifting thing, they get, like, weirdly obsessed. Yep. Because that's how they write it. I mean, they don't know how to just, like, kind of hint at a problem. They have to be like, I'm worried about this.
But at the same time, it's weird because, like, they often won't show the character, like, struggling with it. Like, Jason was still lifting those weights pretty damn good. And every time Zach dances in this episode, he's, like, flawless and awesome. Like, yeah. he doesn't ever stumble or...
Well, no, He absolutely stumbles in this very first scene. Talking about?
Well, I don't remember
he
that.
Does it in a way that I thought was
so,
on purpose.
Yeah, I thought that was intentional. So here's what happens. He's dancing, Balk and Skull walk in, and Kimberly says, like, oh man, he's gonna blow them away at the dance competition. And then Balk says, yeah, he's gonna blow at the dance competition.
Sick burn.
Well, no. He says blow it. He doesn't say he's going to blow.
Yeah, because that's really close to being an illusion to...
Oh, I thought that is what he said.
No, that's a bit too dirty for this kid show.
Okay, fair enough. So he hears it. Zach hears this, and then he keeps dancing, and he pulls a move that causes Kimberly to spill her milkshake onto Balk, which I thought was on purpose. Yep.
No, that was clearly accidental because he's mad about it.
I guess.
Yeah, he ended up doing like a kick too close to Kimberly. She flung her milkshake back and it was like magnetically attracted to Balk.
You're right. He does say, like, sorry, Balk, I tripped. Man, I'm going to screw up. I don't have what it takes to win.
Yeah, but I thought that was sarcastic. Like,
I want to be clear. Counting the opening credits, we are a minute 30 into this episode and Balk has gotten something spilled.
We're
saying before the break that this episode seems like it's cut out of order. This is, like, first example of this. Like, Balk is already covered in something, and this is just the beginning of the episode.
Usually it takes at least, like, I don't know, an actual minute and a half.
I will say they're going to be stuck on the island of illusion later, so they couldn't do it then, and they have to have Balk get something on him.
I mean, they could cut back to Angel Grove just to have him get covered.
He's just walking around on the street and just a milkshake falls from the sky.
I wanted to cut back to Angel Grove and without the teenagers around, everything just turns up Balk. Like, he's just having a great day.
He just gets a date with a hot lady.
Then he gets a date with the girl that Zach has a crush on.
Oh man. Yeah.
So
he's just walking down the street, like a spring in his step and a song in his heart.
Sunshine.
He finds a dollar on the street, like a pretty lady, like waves to him. And,
like a bluebird lands on his finger and he sings to it before it flies away.
Whistling.
He's just playing, what a day for a daydream.
Okay, I want this version of the episode really bad.
like, he's literally directly or indirectly, the Power Rangers are the reason that anything ever goes wrong in Bulk's life.
Man, I just want the episode where he's literally a cartoon character from a 1920s cartoon, just like,
yeah,
dancing around and the flowers are singing to him and stuff, and then the Power Rangers show up and just ruin everything.
Exactly.
So
yeah, the Power Rangers show up, and just instantly the sky turns dark and it starts storming.
A single cloud hovers over his head and just like starts pouring rain on him.
So
yesterday, my troubles seem so far away.
So anyway, he Zach, maybe it was sarcastic, except for the fact that he turns back to the camera and looks really upset and says, "I don't have what it takes to win."
So, well, and no one points and laughs at Bulk. They're all like, oh, geez. Yes,
I think Luke might be right. I thought it was on purpose, but I guess it maybe isn't.
And Bulk is just like, sees red at this. He goes like way more vicious than usual.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah, it looks like he's about to go try and kick Zach's ass. Yeah.
Well, and Skull behind him is like doing all these hand motions like, fucking kill him, Bulk. Fucking kill him.
This
kill
is
him
one
now.
Step too far. Just.
Like, the skull is set off even more than Bulk, I think. It's weird.
Which is funny because this happens to him every day. Like, what's the big deal?
You don't know how what kind of a day Bulk's had up to this point. Maybe, like, his parents fought and, like, he came over and he missed the bus and he got splashed and, like, the opposite of
what
we were
just
saying.
Right, it's like the exact reverse of the scene we just described.
I will say that, real quick, before we move on, that Bulk is wearing one of his standard outfits, except he has replaced his weird, like, penis hat that we have tried to describe over and over again failed with just like a skull cap or a beanie or a toque or a toboggan or whatever the fuck you call those. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think it can be called a skull cap in this case because it's Bulk wear.
Yeah, exactly.
I have been yelled at from the other room by my girlfriend who says it is toque, not toque. Sorry.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
You fool of a toque.
No, yeah, right. My girlfriend.
Exactly.
And
he has a big red B on his jacket, which is the first time I see it.
No, that's been around before, for sure.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah, we talked about him getting an Angel Grove.
Every time he wears it.
Yeah, he bought an Angel Grove Letterman's jacket, but replaced the A with a B because
for Bulk.
Like, A doesn't mean anything.
So Bulk says, like, I'm going to make you lose, chump. And then they cut away, which I was like, wait, what? You can't do that. You can't just...
They're getting a little fast and loose with these cuts
hanging,
to the moon.
Man. Just keep you watching. Yeah. What's gonna happen with Zach and Bulk? First we cut to the moon.
Rita is casting a spell, she's chanting, which I wanna point out real quickly. I love that whoever did the subtitles for this episode went ahead and like wrote down the random nonsense that she said. Yep.
Yes.
But also, whoever wrote that thinks that the first two things she says as part of her incantation are for sure. And then, like, the made-up language begins after that.
Wait, is she even chanting in this scene yet? I seem to remember there was a really quick scene where she's just like, oh, I'm going to summon Loka and Rimmel Butitis. Say, yeah, am I playing Evil Plan? And it cuts back.
She does chant a little bit. She says, I'm time for the heavy artillery. And then she says, like, five, bajar, like, just bullshit. Nothing.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, the scene is, like, super
But
rushed.
She says,
Go ahead.
I just said, like, the scene was super rushed. Like, it just cuts to the moon. She, like, in, like, 30 seconds says, like, I'm going to do this and this and this, and then it cuts back.
Yeah, I think that they did that a lot in these episodes. We've noticed there's, like, a two-second scene on the moon early on, and I think...
Rita or Goldar, in this case, gives, like, an abstract for the episode, basically.
And I think it's right before the first commercial break, which is crazy, because it's usually 2 minutes in. But there were a lot of...
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, that's classic preaching rules, though. You tell them what you're gonna tell them, you tell them, then you told them what you told them.
But Rita's actually says, like, she's going to summon Mutitus and Lokar.
Yeah.
And... Squad and Babu are terrified of Mutitus in this scene, and then the next scene they're gonna be terrified of Lokar instead.
And
Goldar's like, yeah, good job, Mutitus will destroy the city while Lokar sends them to the Island of Illusion, which I love that Goldar is just like, hold on, I have to explain to the audience. here's the deal with these two guys. Yeah.
This is what they do. Mutitus destroys, Lokar sends people to the Island of Illusion. Thank you.
Oh god, I want the version of this show where Goldar seriously like Ferris Bueller's to the camera and just like directly tells us what's going on.
Man, I want, I mean, I know we all love Goldar here, but like the idea of Goldar being Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell, basically, where yeah. he just turns the camera.
Or we can freeze time yeah. and then talk to
yeah.
you.
Or Goldar in the middle.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I, for some reason, I'm actually imagining him like it's a Masterpiece Theater kind of thing.
Well,
like yeah. Goldar's just sitting in this,
with like an evening jacket
in
his little
furnace jacket. Like, yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's in this big regal chair surrounded by bookshelves.
Oh, hello there. I didn't
see
you.
Hello there. You might be wondering.
I think it would have to be. I think we have to
cook
from Sesame Street though and make it Masterpiece Theater.
Masterpiece Theater.
Perfect. I think that was actually the name of the sketch on Sesame Street.
Do like the Wonder Years, where an older adult Goldar is narrating what was happening back when he was a kid.
Voiced by Bob Saget for some reason, yeah. for no reason.
Oh man, what if Fred Savage went back and dubbed over all those lines now that he's an adult? I would buy a Wonder Years box set where that happened.
Special edition?
Yeah. But why? Like what? For what? To what end?
It's like when they edited Hayden Christensen into
yeah, exactly.
Return of the Jedi.
Oh, fucking Jew back
oh you
in the
mean
background.
It's a terrible idea?
Look, it's the original vision. He just didn't have the technology at the time when making.
Yeah, exactly.
Years.
He didn't have time travel.
Right, they didn't have the time travel technology.
Musical
required.
Number with a horrible squid monster there.
So okay, so we cut down now to the juice bar. And I actually really like this because Tommy hasn't gotten a ton of characterization other
sure.
than is good at karate. And well, this is still that, but
still
at least,
that. Yeah,
at least it's branched out a little bit.
Well,
he's,
I think this is a good scene because like, this is one of the first times we see him interacting with another human being and it's not incredibly awkward. Or,
yes. And also this is one like, of the only times that anyone in the Power Rangers interacts with other human beings. It doesn't yeah. happen that much. So yeah, he's teaching a class, of two little kids, but still, karate, some karate stuff. He does a couple moves and then says what I imagine it was basically required by any show that had in the 90s that had like
yeah.
karate in it, which is literally
yeah,
the first
yeah.
thing he says is, remember, yep. martial arts is for defense only.
Yep.
Done best in the karate episode of Hey Arnold.
Oh, I was gonna say in the Ninja Turtles theme song where they literally say like, they only use it for self-defense.
Yep.
That's in the Power Rangers theme song.
Well, there's a whole episode of Hey Arnold where he doesn't just use it for self-defense and he realizes he took karate to stop the bully, but now he's
oh,
the
that's
bully.
Right. And they literally it. Show like flashes of lightning instead of animating him beating.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah. I remember that now. So he says that to them and they're like, okay. And then he just says, come at me, which at that point I thought the two little kids were going to try to beat him up.
That would have been awesome. They just rushed
yeah.
him.
The correct answer is no. You just said it's for self-defense. Like, good job. You get a belt.
Yep,
now.
This is a test. You
yeah.
lost.
instead, one of the kids tries to use the move at him that he just showed, and he blocks it. And then they repeat it, show the block, and he says, yeah, it puts you in charge of the situation so no one gets hurt. Hooray. And then they high-five, and one of the kids has to leap into the air to high-five Tommy, which is adorable.
Yeah, it was pretty cute.
Yeah.
So then we cut back over to Zach, which I thought they were just not going to finish this like bit. Just, okay. And we have our second of the season, Zach Bulk dance off. I don't
yep.
know if you
yeah.
okay, I want to point something out about this scene real quick.
Is it the fact that Zach turns on a boombox and then when Bulk dances, the music changes?
Yes. So there's a term for like incidental music that's just background, like you normally hear on Power Rangers, called non-diegetic, which
yeah,
means
we've talked
it doesn't
about
come
that extensively
from anything
before.
In the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. So by hitting play on the tape player right before the background music starts here, they're implicitly stating that this music is coming out of the beatbox.
A contract is signed
right.
with the audience that says,
yes,
yes, yes, this music is really there.
Yeah.
But this has not been the first time that they've broken basic rules of filmmaking and storytelling.
No, absolutely not.
No, no, they haven't broken anything here. Zach has a mixtape that alternates between his version of the theme and Bulk.
Yeah, so what's happening is...
Well, this is far from the first time Bulk has challenged him to a dance-off, so he's got music ready.
Well, this is the second time they've done it on the show. Maybe this happens all the time, and Zach is just like... He just has a tape that has masking tape on it that says Bulk. Like, it's just...
He has a tape for a dance-off with everyone there. He's always ready. He's the Batman of dance-offs.
He's got one of those suitcase things, and so whenever someone challenges him, he opens up, all right, let's
hang on, Tommy, here you go.
The Batman of dance-offs is my favorite phrase.
Oh, man, but that wouldn't be any good, because all he'd ever do is the Bat-Housay.
Oh, god damn it. Okay, so... God damn it. Anyway... So yeah, in case it wasn't explicitly clear, Zach dances and it's just normal hip hop, and then Bulk does like a lame quote unquote version of the moves that Zach just did, and it plays that hip hop, but interspersed with, like melded with the Bulk and Skull theme.
I spent this entire scene thinking, okay, Bulk's pants are going to split.
No.
Bulk's pants are going to split. Here it comes. And it didn't happen.
Instead, what happens is he dances backwards into a bunch of giant foam, like, marble columns.
Yep.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of prop marble columns in the back of the room.
That Ernie has... For reasons in the
Well, okay, I mean, I assume the dance contest plot arc is getting resolved in part two, but I assume that's, like, decoration for the dance contest that hasn't been set up yet.
Okay, maybe. Sure.
Because the table has, like, a dance contest
theme is
banner
ancient
on.
Greece or something, apparently.
At some point, do we have to accept that Ernie just intentionally fills his place with obstacles for Bulk to fall into?
Well, do you think that's why he lets Bulk hang around? Is he just it amuses him to see?
I'm gonna test this new trap now. A box full of nails.
Here's the problem. Other than Bulk, Ernie's like, I don't want to like poke fun at Wade or anything, but Ernie's like the fattest guy there. If Bulk wasn't around, Ernie would be the one forced into all the slapstick situations. So it's really just a survival thing.
So Ernie sets up fucking traps so that Bulk will get into comedy pratfall?
This is basically Final Destination.
Yeah, somebody needs to sacrifice themselves to the pratfall guy.
Well, then hold on a second. Are you suggesting Ernie hired that hot dog cart guy?
Yes.
Yes, I guess I am.
This is Final Destination rules. As long as Ernie directs all the, like bad luck in the world towards Bulk, it stays off him.
So previously we had decided that Bulk was just magic. Now we're saying that Ernie is just an asshole.
It's kind of both.
And a wizard.
I think Ernie is taking advantage of Bulk's like natural magic.
Okay, tendencies. So he just puts stuff near him that he knows will be attracted to Bulk's magicness.
Right, and continues to let those two hang around to, you know, kind of keep the heat off himself. Okay.
Now, I will say that means that in the Halloween episode, when Ernie gave Bulk a fucking staple gun, that's basically attempted murder at that point.
Yeah, that was a little bitch, I think.
Because he's trying to kill him.
At some point, it's just going to be like, could you hold this gun for me, please, Bulk? And then just sit back and see what happens.
Wade, what'd you say?
Like, do you think Ernie just has cameras set up all over the place?
Oh, yeah. The second YouTube is invented.
He's inventing Jackass, basically.
Yeah, the second YouTube is invented, Ernie's going to have all the followers.
Yeah.
But
you know what's really funny, you guys?
What's that?
I like it when the fat man fell down.
Yeah.
Well, man.
This is the show for you. Zach walks over and Kimberly says, I guess you taught them a new dance. No, Kimberly, what the fuck? That's not, like, no. That's not a good joke.
She's
and also, it's mean. I don't appreciate it.
And then Tommy, like, adds on top of it. By naming that dance.
Yeah, he says, yeah, the crash and burn. Laugh with me, please.
And then he retreats to the back of the group as if he's like, oh no, now all this attention is on.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
What I will say about this dance is that it's the same thing as last time where Bulk's, like, doing all the moves. It's just, it doesn't look as impressive because he's a fat guy.
Right, yeah.
He's doing them in the most technical sense of the word. He just lifts his leg.
Yeah, like, he can't get his leg, he can't do a spin kick. But yeah. He is doing the moves from just seeing Zach do them once, which is impressive.
Yeah, he's gonna, like, if you think about it, what he does is really impressive because for somebody with, like, his weight distribution, the moves he does are pretty...
Well,
yeah.
We've
he's basically
seen...
a fat taskmaster.
Yeah.
but only for
what's
dancing.
What's dumb to me is all of these contests are always like the other person doing something and then Bulk has to try to copy it.
Yeah.
Bulk never challenges anyone else to copy him.
Right. Like a, fallen cake contest.
Jason like broke his weightlifting record. So that was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a eat all the hot dogs contest.
Or... I'm gonna fall into this cake. Yeah. Top this, motherfuckers.
Make a better cake splash than me. I bet you can't. So they're all making fun of him and Zach is like, nah, he just tripped himself up. Just like I'm gonna do at the dance contest. And walks off. And, Billy is back to his, bullshit speech after last week where he didn't use it. He says Zach seems to be experiencing a transient deficiency in self-esteem, which Trini translates as Zach doesn't have enough self-confidence.
Which, for the record, these are two different things. They're not...
No, they're different. Yeah. Now we cut up to the moon, and Rita is like... This is actually a little weird because she came up with her plan independent of what was happening on Earth. Which is not usually how she does it.
No, her whole thing was just, you know what? Fuck this. Fuck them. I'm done.
Yeah, this time she just started her plan and then is like, oh, Zach's upset, so let's go fuck with him first, I guess.
Makes sense.
So now they're freaking out, Squat and Babu are freaking about, Lokar.
Yeah. Oh, also, I did want to point out, all of a sudden there's a crosshair on her telescope.
Yeah.
Has she not had that before?
I don't think so.
Huh.
Usually it doesn't, but it's just because it's this shot where she's zooming out, and yeah.
I mean, telescopes normally don't.
The telescope has a crosshair whenever we're seeing it in the Sentai, basically.
Yeah. Oh, I see. So so when it's focused on something in the gin and juice bar, it doesn't, because that's original footage. Okay.
Yeah, so this crosshair has been here the whole time, but we usually only see it like during quick zooms on the Earth and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I got you.
Okay. So,
yeah, the crosshair is kind of weird because that makes it more like a gun scope than a telescope.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she says, I summon.
Like, what are you aiming at?
Well,
Power Rangers.
She's just pretending to do headshots constantly. Yeah. She just makes like pew pew noises when she's bored. So she says, I summon the power of Lokar and Mutitus, and her Halloween skull glows.
But the best part about this is like her incantation, she's like, I summon Lokar. The terrible. So,
yes.
And Mutitus.
So this episode.
It's like she forgot that Mutitus was part of this.
So I think I know why that happens. And I noticed this when I was watching it. They are trying in this episode to match the lip movements up better.
Oh yeah, they always do.
Well, the problem I think is this time that she actually has a lot more to say.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there's, her cadence is insane. Like, no one.
No, when she, it was a similar thing when she summoned Madame Woe. She was like, Madame Woe, you control the sun.
Yeah. And now it's like, like you said, Wade, Lokar, the terrible.
See, I like to interpret it as she forgot that Mutitus was even part of the plan until the last second. Like, oh shit, right, and Mutitus.
Mutitus too.
Yeah. And also, she just made that subtitle for him up out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. And also, part of this incantation is the exact same incantation she uses in the Green Ranger stuff.
You know, it's just a general summoning.
Well, yeah, she's repurposing a spell.
Yeah.
Like, exact same magic words bullshit.
So
Squat and Babu mention something when they're freaking out. They say that last time, like, they summoned Lokar, he nearly wiped them out. So...
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
Kind of a risky move on Rita's part.
The whole Green Ranger gambit didn't work, so now they have to move on to, like, harsher measures.
And I will say that through this episode, this is painted as, like, Rita's not fucking around. Like, this is given a little more weight to it than the normal plot. Like, for example, as soon as she does this, we see a screen of a shitload of lightning, And then we cut to the gym and juice bar, and there's I guess that's supposed to be lightning, like flashes of light in the juice bar, and people.
But I mean, before that, we have this moment where like Babu tries to stop her.
He tries to tackle her
to stop the summoning. Yeah. And she just backhands him.
Yeah, she's like, what are you doing? No.
And actually, Scorpina voices her approval for the plan. She's just like, I like the plan.
Yeah, Scorpina's a huge suck-off. Well,
but it's not even like, oh, I vote for it. It's like everyone's now scared that they're also going to get hit. She's like, I like it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing.
So, so people are running and screaming, and it you know, we don't get this shot a lot. We've gotten a couple
Well, the morphing grid is trying to, like, collide with the real world to let these monsters enter reality.
So, I mean, whatever. It is going crazy at this point.
I like how, at this point, we can tell that whenever, like, the gym and juice bar starts shaking like that, it's when things get serious.
Yeah.
It's happening. Yeah, basically, whenever you see...
Yeah. Well, I do love... I realized that, I watching the Power Rangers, they look stupid in this scene. I realized that's because they're just in a perfectly still set, and they have to pretend like there's an earthquake going on.
Yeah, yeah, it's
every time on Star Trek when the Enterprise gets hit by something.
Yeah,
exactly, and everyone tosses themselves around, and
And they're not as good at it as the, you know, as Patrick Stewart, weirdly, so.
But my favorite thing is that as the earthquake starts happening, we get a shot of Ernie going, I hate when this happens.
Yes, that's great. I love that he's not like, he looks upset, but he's not like completely freaking out, which is great because like, this is happening again.
It's becoming a routine for them.
Also, Billy says there is a disturbance in the tropospheric pressure zone. Mm-hmm. I question how he knows that just because the ground's shaking.
He can't sense it.
Well, I think he's probably talking about the lightning there.
Yeah.
Well, but the troposphere is like way high up, right?
Oh yeah, no. It's still bullshit, yes, but
like the troposphere does not create lightning on the ground. No,
he just
Here's the thing, Luke. Billy knows nobody else is smart enough to understand what he's saying. Yeah. So nobody's there to call him on
his
bullshit.
He saw that it was lightning and he just said the one atmosphere word he knows and
because that's like the layer right below the stratosphere, isn't it?
I don't know.
Luke, I'm going to let you in on something. I don't think that any of us know that.
I'm checking.
They probably looked at some kind of, like, thesaurus.
Oh, wait a second. No, you know what? I stand corrected. Hold on. I need to retract what I said. That is the lowest layer of the atmosphere.
There you go.
Billy was correct.
All right. Fuck. Get owned
That'll
by Billy.
That'll teach you to second guess Billy.
Yeah.
So we found out today that the writers of Power Rangers have done more research than Luke, which is actually
and
surprising.
And they didn't have Wikipedia. So, there you go. But, so, at this point, Bulk and Skull run into the juice bar, which is weird. They go the wrong way. I don't know.
Okay, wait a second. I have further updates. I was right that it's the layer below the stratosphere. So that's because the stratosphere is not as high as I thought it was.
Oh, okay. There you go.
See, it goes troposphere, stratosphere, mesosphere, thermosphere, exosphere.
Whoa.
Is the exosphere space?
Basically, it's like where because there's not a sharp border between the atmosphere and space.
Okay.
The exosphere is kind of where the atmosphere fades into space.
Okay.
It's like a transition zone.
Yeah.
This is.
It's like more oxygen-rich space than just plain old out in the void.
All right.
But it's basically space.
Which is no oxygen.
So, at this point, like I said, Bulk and Skull run the wrong way, which I don't think we ever find out where they're going.
Well, I mean, last time they ran out and stole a bus and got into all kinds of shit over it. This time they're like, no, we're going to stay in this time.
Well, here's the thing. This is basically an earthquake, and, like, Ernie doesn't really leave either. I assume he finds a, like, sturdy part of the
building. Yeah, that's true. Why does everyone run outside when there's lightning and earthquakes? Like,
they're in, we assume, California. They should know how to deal with an earthquake.
So Bulk and Skull and Ernie are the smartest of these people, apparently.
Yep. Yeah.
So the kids start leaving, and then they contact Zordon. And Zordon says something I actually like, which is that this energy is more powerful than any I've sensed. Rita may be harnessing something I'm not familiar with. I love that for fucking once, Zordon does not immediately know what's happening.
Like, Well, I'm going to counter that because he should know what's happening because They've said they've done this before.
Well, maybe in a different conflict. Point. Like, you think she probably...
Zordon has said that he's been around since the beginning, or he hasn't said it, but we know that he's been around since the dawn of time.
Yeah, but he hasn't been fighting Rita forever. Maybe she fought other people before Zordon.
I don't know.
There's an implication that Rita's conquered a bunch of planets, and I assume Zordon wasn't there when she did all of them.
Well, hold on. Obviously, this is a Zordon from younger in his life.
Oh, yeah. Time loop Zordon. Yeah. Yes. Sure.
Yeah. Billy Pilgrim Zordon. Yeah.
So at this point, they go to find Zack, because Zack left earlier because he was pouty.
Well, did we mention that Tommy's got to stop and is like, I got to protect my students, you guys go.
So I actually love this, because they have to get him away somehow, like they always do. But in this case, it's like a pretty good reason.
Yep.
And they say,
to go pretend and kick the air and practice my karate.
Yeah, he doesn't have to go into the woods with a sword. He has to protect small
children. Here's what I like about the scene though. Like, it kind of implies that, oh wait, yeah, I was teaching these kids in karate class or whatever, so I'm kind of responsible for them. Which implies that for Tommy's karate class, he just, like, showed off some moves for 5 minutes and was like, yeah, go play arcade.
Okay, now I'm gonna go hang out with my friends and you just chill over there till your parents show up, which also they never do. But yeah, I do like that they actually.
I mean, as someone that teaches like middle school kids,
when I was little, we had I did after school daycare, and my parents were always the last ones there, and that's super awkward.
Oh yeah,
there's something slightly more awkward than that, and that's when your parents run the daycare, and you have to wait around until everyone else leaves because she's closing off.
Geez. Luke, tell me what your conversation topics are with the last kid before his parents come to get him.
It usually just kind of varies depending on what the kid was. One time I gave him a colorblind test.
Okay. Sure.
I'm like, yeah, maybe he's colorblind. Nope, he's not.
All right, good. Now that I know.
Tonight, it wasn't just one kid, but a bunch of kids. We were just sort of goofing off, and they were like, why do we have to do English in school? It's so pointless. And I tried to explain to them that English is the most important subject as a practical use thing, because everybody is trying to use subtext to manipulate you, and you should study the greatest, like, manipulators of subtext so you know when people are bullshitting you. And they didn't buy that argument.
No.
Which goes to show that you have not learned your own lesson well enough.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
That's pretty great. Alright, fair enough. So, anyway, so he says, yeah, I have to stay. We cut back up to the moon.
Luke, do those kids know what question marks are for?
I assume so. I taught them today that purple's not a real color.
What?
What?
Yeah, no, it's not. There's no purple on the,
You're thinking of indigo, dude. Well, purple is just... Well,
purple's
Purple is another name for violet, which is the actual...
Indigo
I'm talking about magenta. There is no magenta on the electromagnetic spectrum.
Magenta? Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yes. Because
so
it
we
is
cut to the park.
No, I want to hear this. Hold on, I'm really interested.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, okay. So the cones you have in your eyes are red, green, and blue.
Yeah.
And you know, you see yellow when both your green and your red cones are triggered, and you see what is it like? Fucking some other color when your green and blue eyes are
cyan.
Cyan. Yeah. You see purple when red and blue are triggered. But it's not because that's, like, between them on the spectrum, like those other colors are. Because what's between red and blue is green, but your brain knows, wait a second, my green cones aren't being triggered, so it can't be green, so I'm just gonna make up a fucking color, and then that's what it looks like.
I thought you were just bullshitting us, but Wikipedia says magenta is an extra spectral color, meaning it is not found in the visible spectrum of light. It is a physiologically perceived mixture of red and violet/blue light with the absence of green. So it's literally your brain goes, I don't know, this.
Yeah, exactly. Your brain just says, listen, that is white light minus green light. That's not anything. I guess let's just make up a color and call it purple.
I find this fascinating.
I do
this
too.
Is what, and so, this is what the podcast is about from now on.
Yeah. See, that does not disqualify it as a color in my mind. I can see it.
Well,
I can
it depends on what definition of color you're using. Under some
definitions,
yeah,
no, that gets
yes.
into a philosophical.
It's not a pigment. There's no magenta pigment. Because there is not a thing that is magenta. It's just...
There is no wavelength that is the magenta wavelength.
Right, there you go.
There is a purple ranger.
The combination of the red and blue wavelength.
There's a purple ranger. That means it's officially a color now.
Well,
no, that means it's a
so
part of
you.
The... No, that's part of the morphing grid. That's not necessarily
okay,
part
now,
of the electromagnetic...
Okay, so guys, listen. There's three doors. Behind two of the doors, there's goats.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go on.
We established the morphing grid is real. Purple's in the morphing grid. Purple is real.
Yeah, I actually really want to hear how the morphing grid changes the Monty Hall
problem. Fuck this. Now I'm shutting this down.
Oh,
sorry.
Man. Okay, how many doors are in the morphing grid and how many are outside?
Oh, my God. Fuck. I'm so mad.
Infinite.
This has turned on me so hard. Okay, we're moving on. I'm okay. Executive decision. I'm an okay. executive. CEO.
CEO of Teenagers Without a Team Incorporated.
So Goldar says he's going to challenge the Power Rangers with a hail of Putty Patrollers,
yes.
Which I'm now just picturing Putty Patrollers streaming from the sky.
Actually,
not the usual jump they do, but just plummeting.
Yeah.
Keep that
and
in
that's
mind.
What happens.
It kind of is. So, okay. They run up. The Rangers run up to Zack in the park, who is standing in the middle of nowhere and looking into the middle distance. Like...
It's his brooding spot. Come on.
Dude, how worried are you about this dance contest? So Trini's like, she just walks up and says, Zordon says she's about to start something.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean...
We haven't established freedom yet, we can just assume, but yeah.
I mean,
look, it's episode 28. At some point... You just know what's going on.
You know she means Rita, but still, like, that's not how English works. You need
she
to establish who you're speaking about first.
Zach, who else could he be speaking about?
You're right.
Scorpina.
Yes, exactly. So Kimberly looks up.
Yep.
And she says, look, and then putties happen.
But, so this is a literal hail of putties.
Hallelujah, it's raining putties.
No putty dicks in this episode, though, like not unlike last episode, unfortunately.
There is this ridiculous shot of Billy, like, untying the sweater that's around his waist.
Yeah, what is supposed to be happening there?
I don't know!
I thought he was going to use it as a weapon.
But then it
like,
cuts away, and it doesn't cut
it?
Back!
Yeah, I thought he was going to, oh God, I've forgotten the name of the man what was in all
Jackie
those
Chan
movies. Thank you, Jackie Chan. I thought he was gonna Jackie Chan it, but no, he just takes his jacket off and then they do a weird like swoosh cut.
What if he's like, say like Piccolo, he's wearing his
weighted clothes.
And he's gotta take him off because the battle's getting serious.
That'd be pretty good. So we have a putty fight. Zach? Actually, despite being depressed, has some fucking really good moves in this fight.
Yep. Well, nothing perks you up like a good old-fashioned putty
fight.
That's
true.
This is one of the more fun putty fights we've had in a little while.
At some point, I wonder if they just, like, start to just enjoy it. Not like out of like, yeah, I'm killing someone. Not like that. But just, they're not,
well, maybe a little
I mean,
of that.
But they're
too.
Just clay men and they're easy to fight. So, like, at some point.
Putties have no souls.
Maybe
no
it gets enjoyable.
Kill them.
Goldar and Scorpina show up. They morph. Yeah. Not really like that much to talk about it on this fight, really.
Then they fight for like 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Yep. Not even that. It's. Blink and you'll miss it, that fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at this point, she finishes her spell. She says it's time for the final spell. And Mutitus shows up, and he's terrifying.
And I
want to
point out that...
Yeah!
I want to point out something. Like, this is clearly, like, Sentai footage once they morph or whatever, but, like, part of the Eternal Park is, it's kind of cool. There's a bunch of, bushes, like, shaped into... animals,
yep.
Like there's a flamingo bush. And,
the park that they fight in the Sentai footage is always really nice. It's weird. Don't know where they filmed it, but it shows up. Go ahead.
I have a question about Mutitus, and this must have something to do with the Sentai.
Why is
he the Frankenstein?
I
Yeah, he's got the bolt to his neck, and he's got the weapon.
Exactly, I noticed that, too.
Don't know.
Because he looks all stiff together.
He's also got bolts coming out of his neck.
Yeah. He kind of looks like somebody
gross,
just,
like, patchwork man.
He looks like the Frankenstein.
It looks like somebody stripped all the skin.
Yeah, he looks like the Frankenstein monster from the episode a couple episodes ago, if you ripped all his skin off. Yep. And replace his eyes with horrible gaping holes and
I'm looking now into the Ranger Wiki. In the original Japanese episode, New Titus transforms from Frankenstein monster after being destroyed by Dragonzord battle mode.
So they got 3 episodes of fucking Frankenstein footage because he just showed up in that one episode, like in the background.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Well, presumably he's still going to be around in part 2 of this, so 4.
Yeah.
But really, though, like, he's scary. I don't like him.
Yeah, I don't like
well,
him.
He's not scary so much as he's just gross.
Yeah.
He's real gross.
He's so gross.
He has, like, a anglerfish mouth also on top of the stuff.
Eutitus sounds like a really crappy, like, D-tier villain from one of the old Fox Kids Marvel shows.
I will say that despite being terrifying...
Like a Morlock or something.
The perspective shot from between his legs where they're trying to show that he's huge and they're tiny is real bad, like way worse than normal.
Well, because he's walking on like stone tile that like the kind that you see in like parks outside all the time. So you have an immediate reference point that ruins the illusion.
Yeah, you're like, oh, he like for a second, I literally thought he had shrunk back down after being huge. But no, it's just bad. It's just they
they're not small, they're far away. That's really obvious to me.
So now at this point they summon their Zords.
One of the earliest Zord summonings that I'm aware of in the show. We're literally 8 minutes into the episode.
And they play the full Megazord assembly.
We get a minute and a half of Megazord action.
Can I ask you guys a question? Do you guys skip this at this point?
No, I always waited out just to find out how long it actually is this time. Yeah. Sometimes I skip around through parts of it.
There's a part of me that just wants to watch it all the time.
It's pretty cool. Like I
usually watch to see if the pterodactyl hits the tree, which it does. It does.
Yeah, sometimes they do cut away before that happens.
Mike, I like to imagine you with like a little checkbox that just like,
drink this.
I think I
need
to.
My favorite thing about the sequence. I love that the pterodactyl hits the tree.
Now, do you think that in canon she meant to do that? Like, just fuck this tree. I'm in a giant robot. It's fine.
I think it's impressive that that tree has shows no damage after having been hit how many times?
Wait, is it this?
That's a really sturdy
tree. Is
it
the same tree?
Well, yeah.
It's coming from the same volcano
every time.
Okay, you know what? I never really considered that there actually must be a volcano.
I mean, look, you don't buy the morphing grid theory, so how many volcanoes do you think are this close to
Earth? You're right. I just never thought about it. So there is a volcano somewhere, and you could just go to it, and there would be a pterodactyl robot in it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, unless you buy into morphing grid theory. This is what I'm saying.
There's some kind of glacier, too, and Yeah. And the jungle for
that,
the super
like, that refreezes every time the Megazord disassembles. I guess
it's almost as if nothing about the spatial layout of this world makes sense, and a theory is needed to correct
that. No, it's fine.
That.
The Mastodon...
Here's the thing, though, Luke. The infinite Angel Grove Park exists in the real world.
Well, yeah, we already talked about how the morphing grid is bleeding over into Angel Grove due to the power of
and that's why the morphing. That's why the park is infinite.
Luke, for all your fancy words with this theory, you know your theory basically boils down to fuck it, it's magic.
Absolutely. He's aware, like, I think. Yeah.
it's like Star Trek. If they don't give you technobabble to explain what's going on, it seems way more fake. You gotta have fancy names for everything.
Right.
I love
they form the Megazord, and they're like, yeah, let's show this guy what Megazord power is, and immediately they get hit by the metal ball.
It goes really bad. They fight for a little bit, and then the sky goes black?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I forgot something very important.
At which point the Megazord shuts down, right? Because it's solar.
Shut up. They forgot that. But hold on. Before that happens, something very important happens, which is they cut to Rita And Rita looks back towards the back of her, yes. her command center. I don't know what her castle and just goes, Finster, I made my own monster and it's winning. Ha ha. Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
And that is the shittiest thing that Rita ever does. I'm pretty sure.
Well, also she was just down on Earth on like a fire escape watching the fight.
Yes.
No, this is right before
she went
that.
Back to the moon just to taunt Finster. I love it.
The part that gets me is right before that we get a shot of the Power Rangers going, oh, yeah, that's more like it. We're, like, getting back on top of it. And then Rita goes, hey, my monster's winning. And then we cut back to the Power Ranger, and they're like, yeah, we're almost done. We're winning.
Yeah.
You have, like, you can't just switch between the two like that.
I just love so much that Rita took a second to tell Finster to go eat a dick. Like, like, why? What are you gaining from being an asshole to your employee that makes your monster?
It makes her feel big.
When the sky goes dark, like the fireball that I guess is Lokar shoots down to Earth, and it's not like a super nice effect, but the Super Sentai people actually, like, when they do like laser bolts and fireballs and stuff, they like animate them in a way that makes them look really cool.
Yeah, it's that's the
that the like stuff. American team doesn't do at
yeah,
all.
It looks really cool. I always like how that stuff looks. In fact, I actually recently Elliot Kalin, co-host of the Flophouse, was talking about how he loves that specific old school effect. And specifically that it was, he was too old for Power Rangers, but watched it anyway because of that. And I thought that was kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's got like this erratic spiraling pattern to it that like
it looks really cool, real
and believable.
So she sends down a second monster, which is this fireball Luke's talking about, and it's a big head.
Uh-huh.
With like a blue hedgehog on top of it, yep. I guess. And this is Lokar. And now I have to tell you guys something, which is that in the Sentai, this is Satan.
Great Satan.
Oh, thank you very much.
Not just Satan.
What I've always imagined Satan to be like.
Yeah.
Big blue sky face.
Yeah, big blue sky face.
And
yeah, you're right.
I believe that's in scripture. Lord Zedd.
Yes, it is Lord Zedd's voice also, yeah. And Wade, you're right, it's Great Satan, sorry.
Yeah, get it right. Be respectful.
I'm pretty sure Lord Zedd's voice is also Finster.
Yes, but it's the same, it's the voice he uses for Lord Zedd.
Okay, gotcha.
But yeah, this is a big fucking blue head that floats around, and it's, in the Sentai, this is the character that, like, manipulates Bandora, the Rita counterpart, and makes her evil. And in this one, he's, like, a one-off weird head monster.
Oh, he'll be back.
Yeah.
Well, he can't be the Great Satan, because there's already the Great Satan in this, in the show, and that's the United States.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Speaking of, this podcast is really popular in like caves of Afghanistan, right?
That's who we have to play to our base. The fucking
exactly.
Yeah.
We really need to start speaking like not English.
Hey, ISIS.
I was
going to
say the language they
speak
there, and then I realized I didn't remember it.
Did you just try to engage ISIS on a color discussion?
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Good.
If anyone at ISIS wants to have some
input about... That's the wrong group. You want Iris for that.
God. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
God damn it.
Hail, Great Saint.
All right, so Tommy, we cut back to the juice bar, and Tommy asks, according to the subtitles, he asks Ray to watch the kids for him, but yeah, he asks Ernie.
Well, I mean, basically, Zordon's just going, well, Rita summoned the devil, I'd better summon my devil.
Yeah.
And Tommy just...
And because like, this is the 90s, there's a D.A.R.E. poster behind
it. Yeah, that's what point at, too. There's totally a D.A.R.E. poster.
I love that Ernie's, like, messing with a broken plate, being like, man, can I put this back together?
Oh, man, he is really concentrating that plate, too. Like, he's got two pieces put together, kind of looking at them intently. Then looks over at the glue, looks
he
down,
looks like
shakes
he's thinking,
his head.
Man, this was my favorite plate, and then the earthquake hit.
And to clarify, this is a pink plastic plate. In fact, it looks like one of those like disposable ones you buy for a
picnic. It probably is.
Oh, and he has a bottle of glue next to him, like he's going to glue it back together. That's great.
I missed the glue. You're right, though.
But Tommy asks Ernie to watch the kids, and he agrees to. He's like, hey, guys, listen to Ernie. And the kids are like, okay, because they're playing on the arcade machines, and they're not listening.
So real quick, before we move on, I wanted someone on the Facebook group pointed out that Ernie literally always has a bowl of popcorn next to him. and I, for a second, thought that this pink thing was an empty bowl of popcorn, and he was just staring at it longingly.
I don't understand. I've never seen it like this before. Yeah. It's like my bowl of popcorn, but there's something different about it.
So, also, I have a question. Why are the kids still there?
Their parents didn't show up to pick them up.
Yeah, that's kind of... I mean...
Well, there's a monster attack in the city. Angel Grove's on
lockdown. Oh, I guess he's still attacking, isn't he? Okay, fair enough. Good point. All right. So he walks over and he... Zordon calls him and says...
God, do you think Angel Grove has monster days the way, like...
Snow days?
I don't think it's gotten quite that far yet. Not to like the One Punch Man level where they have like specific shelters for monster attacks and all that stuff.
Oh, I did mean to mention in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic that just came out, there is a monster alarm in the school.
Okay.
It's specifically an alarm for monster attacks, which is
excellent.
Awesome.
That's really great. I like
really
it a lot.
Happy. Now Rita is calling Lokar down, and she's standing on, a balcony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how she gets back and forth.
She teleports.
Yeah, I guess so. That's true.
Now, she tells this 80s glam rocker to bend to her will.
And Lokar breathes on Mutitus, and Mutitus gets even more terrified.
Yep.
Jesus. his head splits open, and, a weird demon worm comes out of it.
There's a giant dragon head on where his original face was, and there's a tiny Lokar on his chest.
Yep.
Oh, I missed that.
It actually looks like a blue pineapple.
Yeah, it's a really like paper mache Lokar head.
But it's scary.
Yep.
They really ramped up the
body
the scariness
horror there.
Of the monsters
near
here.
John
in this
Carpenter
episode.
Levels.
Yeah. So he says, "Feel the fear, the power of Lokar," and it's in Lord Zedd's voice. They fight for a while. The Megazord is clearly not got this. Does he even bother summoning the sword?
No,
I don't think so.
No,
I mean, Mutitus grabs the Megazord's fist first thing, so he can't really do much there.
Yeah. The dragon, Tommy shows up and summons the Dragonzord.
I love when Tommy shows up, there's a zoom in on Rita's face, and she's just got this, she's just pouting,
She's like, God damn it.
I think this is the first time in the whole series we've seen her, giving some expression other than, maniacal laughter or incredible rage. She's just kind of frowning.
She's just I had him. I had him.
Kinda wish I hadn't done the Green Ranger thing now. Should have gone straight for Lokar.
Yeah, that plan really backfired on her, didn't it?
Seems like that didn't work out super well. Tommy summons the Dragonzord and says, "You and your monsters are about to feel the sting of the dragon."
I'm really sad because he jumps on top of its head, but then the action figure isn't there later.
Yeah.
Wait,
the
sting of the Dragonzord? So he's crimping from Scorpina now?
I mean, it has a pointy tail, and he does attack with it, but you're right.
It's not a sting,
Tommy
it's a drill!
Tommy is really bad at one-liners.
Yes, Tommy is terrible at one-liners.
The drill is like a robot sting. Stop spinning hairs there.
I like the idea though that like Tommy's trying to come up with one-liners and all he can do is like think of badass things other people said.
He'd totally be the kind to come back later and go, wait, read up, pretend I just said this, now say this.
Oh god, I had something for this.
Or he just starts saying like, yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker, and everybody's like, no, we know that you didn't do that. Like, we know that someone else said that.
Oh yeah, Rita? Well, I'm Batman.
So you're saying he's the Joel of the Power Rangers, constantly referencing other things.
Basically, yeah.
So they fight for a while, and then Lokar, I'm sorry, not Lokar, Mutitus sprays.
Yeah?
Spackle. It looks like spackle.
And shaving cream. Yeah. Right?
Like, well, I'm looking at the shape of Mutitus' new face.
Uh-huh.
And it's really oblong.
Yeah.
And it's got a bulbous bit at the end.
Right.
And then
look, yeah, it's just like that your dick looks like that. Spray, man.
He's spraying white foam all over these robots.
Just like a can of shaving cream.
Like, you know, I wasn't gonna go there with you, but then I remembered and rewatched it, and there's the shot of the foam going left to right all over the face of the Megazord. Yeah. And like, yeah.
Or the close-up of the cockpit that's splattering all over the windshield.
Yeah, exactly.
No. It's truly a cockpit now.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, let's not dance around it. This thing is fucking jisming all over the Zords, alright?
That
is Mutitus spunk all over these robots.
What, would you call it bot cocky?
Get out! Robots. Get out!
Yes, I would.
I'm That's done. Perfect. Goodbye.
So they say,
congratulations! You found the line I wouldn't cross.
You're welcome. I did a good job, and everybody should be proud of me.
Asshole.
So
that's what they call sperm, kids.
Okay. So they say that it's acidic foam. And the...
Well, I mean, yeah, it's got some acidity to it. I mean...
The robots just fall over. Like, both of the robots, the Zords, just keel over.
And
all
somehow...
the Rangers fall out of them, and somehow...
I think this is the first time we see, like, the Rangers falling out of the sky footage, including the Green Ranger.
Yeah, that's also the first time at night.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Or black, or whatever it is. It's implied that it's magic darkness.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. But when they fall out, somehow, instead of just falling to the street, they fall onto a magical island.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, they literally fall out of the dimension.
Yep.
Yes.
It takes a cut back to the command center for Zordon to explain this and Alpha,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah. Yes. They've fallen onto an island in a different dimension. The Power Rangers are facing their ultimate challenge. Only what he says. Only one
here's,
thing. That
here's
can
the
save
thing,
them
Zordon.
Now.
By definition, only one challenge can be the ultimate challenge, and I know you've used this word before.
But also,
well, you know,
like,
every time he says that, it's a different time version of Zordon. So
it's the ultimate challenge up to now.
Yeah. Well, does that make every challenge the ultimate challenge?
Not if it's like a lesser of a challenge than the previous challenge.
I guess it's kind of like how every episode of this show is the weirdest one.
Actually, you're right. Technically, ultimate means last, so you're right. It is always the ultimate challenge.
But, so Zordon explains that the Rangers are beyond his reach. They're just on their own. Which...
He also says that the only one thing that can save them, which is confidence in themselves.
Which sounds like regular old Zordon hippie bullshit, but actually turns out to be more accurate than that.
Yeah, like literally they will face challenges based on self-confidence. Now, Zordon said he didn't know what was going on. How does he know that? Like,
Maybe he's familiar with the dimension, but not the monster that Rita had. I don't.
Okay.
No, he just trusts them.
Between scenes, we got a different Zordon, like a different part of his time stream.
I don't know who this Lokar guy was, but it turns out it's just your typical alternate dimension island self confidence thing. So you know, just find your inner light and be whatever, like, there's gonna be a dwarf at there's at some point.
I love the idea of Zordon just, like, getting bored of his own confidence builder in the middle of it.
It's like, yada, 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 whatever. Speaking of finding your inner light, I really love how there's, like, this slow, dramatic zoom in on Alpha's face as he says,
yes, for a dramatic reaction from the robot.
Yeah, good reaction shot of the blank robot face.
Yeah.
I love
the line, be strong, my human friends. It's so corny.
Yeah, especially because it implies Alpha has other friends.
Well, Zordon, he's friends with Zordon, right?
Is he?
No, I think he thinks he's friends with Zordon.
No, I think Zordon's his dad. Remember when he was begging him to stay up later?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Fair enough. So we cut
to... I guess he has that teddy.
We cut to the island, which is floating in the middle of nothingness. It's kind of creepy. Yeah. This is, like I mentioned at the top of the episode, but like this is just a really strange episode in that, like, we've done alternate dimensions and all that stuff before, but like the weird two monster thing and like the way that they are on this, like, magic island that's in nothingness instead of just like generic room. It's
the pacing is really
it's a weird episode.
It's like cutting to another episode all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And like, Power Rangers is never
the second time this episode this has happened, because you had the bit at the beginning with the dance, which felt like an opening to a Power Rangers episode, and then it switched to like apocalyptic big event episode, two monsters, you guys are fucked, and now you're on
switch to
like,
the end
quest.
Of another of a different episode.
Yeah,
basically.
Right. Yeah, it's very weirdly done.
But yeah, so we got the Rangers unmorphed in the middle of what, near as I could tell, is a tropical forest.
Yeah. And they're all
also, real quick, I want to point out that they are all teleported onto the same palm tree.
Yep.
Like going all the way up it, except for Billy.
It looks like a senior photo.
Yep. Yeah, it looks like they posed for it, and then Billy is just behind it. So, yeah, they're in a jungle or something.
They look like they're just in another park, but yeah.
Yeah. Billy says, we survived the transdimensional journey quite intact. And again, like, she said she was gonna teleport them to another dimension, but they just fell out of a robot. Like,
well, this is clearly not part of the Angel Grove Infinite Park, so it must be another dimension.
Yeah. Although I love that Zach's response is not quite intact, because he realizes that their communicators are gone.
Yeah.
And their morphers.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's not surprising. Like, I wear a watch every day, and when I don't have it on, it's really noticeable.
I mean, but it's not part of you, though. Like, he says they're not intact. I mean, I guess you would form, like a weird bond with your powers, but...
I mean, they're not intact because they can't morph. Like, at this point... Sure. Being a ranger is a part and
100% of what went in is not 100% of what came out. That seems reasonable.
Fair enough.
Well, so, another line that I find even weirder is when they start freaking out.
Yep.
Zach says, oh man, this is not catch.
This is not catch.
That must be a 90s slang that I have just
I think what is happening here is Zach is trying to make catch happen, and it's not going to.
Stop trying to make catch happen, Zach.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm the one who makes all the cultural references to other.
other you products. Do the weird shit no one's heard of.
So okay, so
everyone's heard of Mothra.
Now we have
literally everyone.
So now we have a scene that I love, where they walk through the jungle and they're all scared. And everyone stands behind Jason, like, huddled up to him.
They are literally, like, they're literally doing the whole buddy system thing where you have to be, like, in physical contact with your buddy
but
at all
I
times. Except
that...
everyone's buddy.
Kimberly and Trini are, like, grasping his arms.
Yeah, specifically everyone is Jason's buddy. They're like, please protect us, strong
well,
man.
Yeah,
the best
I mean,
part about
well,
this,
I mean, like,
the best part about this
anyone...
is... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, if you had to pick any one member of this crew to keep you safe, I'm going with Jason.
Yeah, you're not wrong. Wade, what were you gonna say?
The best part about this is if you watch Billy during this whole little scene, like, it seems like he's constantly looking to, like, go and grab someone's arm, like Jason's arm, and then Kimberly's arm. Like it's like he really wants to hold someone because he's scared, but he stops himself every time. Like he really wants like to be protected, but he's too scared to reach out and ask for it.
And also, Tommy is in the back, not quite comfortable with physical contact, right. But yeah, so they're walking through this jungle.
We get stock footage of a lizard.
Stock footage of a Gila monster for no fucking reason. And then they cut back to the rangers, and Kimberly says, "It feels like these bushes have eyes." And then they cut to a man looking through like the wild vegetation of like a maple tree. I don't know exactly.
So
they
also
get a huge fucking cobweb that comes to nothing.
Yes. Yeah. I wanted to point that out specifically because it does not come up later.
It's like a giant spider web and then there's no giant spider basically.
Yep.
Yeah. It's a weird, like, you know, it's a low budget jungle.
Yeah.
They're not doing a great job of selling. So they're walking through this and still just clinging to Jason for dear life. And then they walk past very clearly a man just standing there staring at them and do not acknowledge him and continue walking.
Well, he's up in a tree. And as anyone who's ever made a video game will tell you, people don't look up. They never look up.
Fair enough. We get another shot of this
people
dude.
People actually can't look up.
We get another shot of this dude just running away, and then finally, they're continuing to walk, and they just see a midget. I'm sorry,
yeah,
a little
I was
person.
Say.
I apologize.
I was gonna say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but why was he hiding if he was just gonna like come out and say hello to them?
Well, no, he wasn't saying hello. He just was chilling out playing a flute.
Yes, you're right. He's playing a flute. And Zach mentions it's out of tune, which I like. They walk over to him, and he is just chilling, playing a flute, and he starts talking in rhymes.
Yeah.
And he assumes that Rita sent them.
Well, Kimberly tries to explain the situation. She starts saying, like, "Hey, do you think you could help us? Like, Rita sent us here." And he basically goes, "What? You're friends with Rita Repulsa? Oh, fuck you. You all are going to die here." And he pieces out. He just disappears.
Yeah. And then Kimberly asks, "Was it something I said?" And it's like, "Yes, you said Rita." And he clearly freaked out to the word Rita. Yes, it was something you said.
Yeah, like,
stay away. Go ahead.
If this is like Rita's dimension, then like maybe like this dude like has been hiding there. Like maybe she's been trying to get rid of this guy for a long time. So he's like built up like an extreme fear of her.
Yeah.
She wants him out of her little island of illusion so she can use it.
See, I assumed she sent him here for punishment, but I can't think of what he would have done to...
He seems to have, like, teleportation magic, so I think he just hangs out here. Also, he reveals that his name is Quagmire.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
Giggity.
God damn it. You're fired.
I mean, that's the only thing you can think of when you hear, like, oh, his name is Quagmire.
No, I thought of the Pokemon Quagsire.
Yeah. Exactly, yes.
I thought of the horrible Quagmire of Vietnam that he got stuck in. So he teleports away.
This is our most politically charged episode yet, I think.
He teleports away, and at this point, Goldar's face appears like fucking Simba's dad in The Lion King.
Goldar also has the power to rear project.
Yeah, and he says, "Did you lose your precious power coins?" And he's just taunting them.
Once again, Goldar is in his element, just taunting people stuck in another dimension.
The best that Goldar ever is when he's just being an ass. Like, that's the best that Goldar gets, basically.
Absolutely.
It's very specifically being an ass about the Power Rangers not having their morphers on them anymore.
Yeah, that's true. You're right, actually. Yeah.
But, so, Goldar floating in the sky disappears, and then in front of the Rangers appears Eye Guy, Shell Shock, the Pudgy Pig, the Pinopticus, and Snizzard.
Yep.
Yeah.
These are almost exclusively monsters that showed up on our End of the Year awards, I think.
Yeah, they are.
I have to wonder, I mean, I guess we're spoiling a little bit here, but like, all these monsters are illusions, as, because, you know, it's the island of illusion. Who'd have thunk? Yeah. But,
well, I mean, by spoiling, you mean, like, they come at them and then just
right,
vanish.
Right. Like, but I'm wondering, like, are they, is Goldar, like, or Rita or whoever picking what monsters show up, or are these the monsters that they're the most afraid of seeing again?
I'm gonna guess, based on everything else that happens, that these are the Rangers subconsciously, like,
okay, and that makes sense, because all these guys beat them pretty badly, but yep. You know who beat them worse than any of them is the frog guy. And he's not here, man. So I can only assume that they're actually not afraid of him because he awoke a vor fetish in all the ones that he ate.
So he's,
you know,
not
of
a
all
fear
the things
because...
I didn't expect us to come back around to. That was probably the top of the list.
Everything comes.
Never count Luke out when a fetish is.
Yeah, exactly.
So, they just rush towards them and then vanish. Yeah. I don't know what the point of this was, like, to just freak them out a little, but.
But then Goldar says, like, this is the island of illusion, a place where nothing is real
except the danger.
But if the danger is real,
which
doesn't
I bet
that
sounded
mean
a lot cooler in
them?
His head before he said it.
Yeah.
Also, so, why tell the Rangers that nothing is real? You'll probably be more effective at scaring them if they think it's real.
Yeah.
Well, you would think that, except that then what happens is that Zack sees a big snake.
A snake, not a spider, which we've previously
established. Yeah, that's what I was
going to
say.
Afraid
like,
of,
A,
and which
we've already
set
seen a
up
spider
for
web.
Earlier.
B, we know Zack's scared of spiders. Why didn't they have a spider for this part?
Yeah, and this isn't even like a restriction of the Sentai footage. This is all American footage right here. They could have just done a spider.
Like, are they out of budget? Could they not get a spider guy on time?
Here's what happened. Alice Cooper stopped by the set that day, and they just happened to have the constrictor laying around.
No. Zack's freak out at this fucking snake is the craziest shit I've ever seen on this show.
Walter Jones going nuts.
Yeah. I don't know, he freaked out pretty unrealistically at some, like, imaginary moths recently.
That's true, but he is, like, unreachable, catatonic, like, horror, terror.
He is reacting as if the snake was on him right now.
Yeah, he's in a wide open space. The snake is on a branch that's, like, 3 feet in front of him, and he has 180 degrees of range next to him and behind him to back off from that snake, even if it was real, which it is not, which Goldar just told them it's not.
And he is just, like, losing his fucking mind.
That shot, when they zoom in close on his face, is the funniest shot in Power Rangers.
Oh, yeah, there's no way that's not the picture I put up with this. Like,
oh, my God.
His face is... like,
he's crying.
Like
he's gonna
fucking
he has tears
cry.
In his
yeah.
eyes. He's yeah. really going for it.
And then they zoom in on the snake's face, and the snake's just chilling, like, I'm cool
yeah,
here.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
we can't
I mean,
tell because the snake, you know, can't emote, but he's also incredibly afraid of Walter Jones's. So.
Pathological fear of all Walter Jones's. Senior, junior, all of them. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, they tell him, like, what are you doing that it's not real? Like, what do you see? And he's like, it's a snake! There's no snake there. And then Billy explains Rita's trying to use our fears against us. Zack, like, books it. And then...
Uh-huh.
Then he says he doesn't feel good.
No,
and then
no, first he says we can't fight something like that. It's a fucking snake, dog. You have a magic axe. Like,
well,
he doesn't
right
though.
Now.
Well, you don't have it.
That's true, but also, I mean, yeah, I guess you're right. You're right. Pythons are strong. I guess
I think
you can't use your normal karate on a python, I guess.
He doesn't think he can fight something that can, like, throw your worst fears at you, is what he's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, again, like, this week we've decided that he has crippling self-doubt issues, so...
Okay, yeah. I thought he was talking specifically about the snake that you could not fight.
That would be great, though, but no. So he starts saying that he doesn't feel good. And then he starts fading away like fucking Marty McFly in Back to the Future.
Exactly.
Yeah.
On the island of illusion, lacking self-confidence has the same symptoms as preventing your parents from meeting.
Yeah.
Basically. And then Quagmire fucking shows up and is like, hey, well, he says it in rhyme, but he basically says, like, hey, by the way, if you get too afraid, you're gonna fucking vanish. Anyway.
And then he poofs away!
Yeah, then he vanishes.
Yeah. He's just like, hey guys, here's what's up. Later!
Let me explain to you, and by extension the audience, how this works. Alright, yep. Peace.
Goldar shows up to taunt, one, and says, one by one, you'll all fade away forever, rah-ha-ha-ha-ha. And then we get this shot of all of the Rangers standing, like, 20 feet away from Zack, like they're gonna catch it, like it's contagious. And Zack, like, disappearing. And it's fucking, this episode is so fucking weird.
Yeah, because that's the end of it.
Yeah, yeah, this is where we get the to be continued.
Yep.
To be continued. Also, the to be continued fades away, and it like freeze frames on to be continued, and then to be continued fades away, and they move a little bit more. And for a second, I thought they were just gonna like hang out for a while.
To be continued right now.
Yeah.
They're gonna just but... keep moving through the rest of the credits like it's fucking Files of Police Squad.
Right. Yeah. But no, that's it. Like that's the cliffhanger, and. Yeah, like...
Yeah.
Man, what a fucking weird episode.
I don't know. So, like, Wade, as somebody who hasn't watched all of these with us, like, did this feel weirder than the ones that you've watched, or...
I've watched this entire season, like, multiple times. Like, I'm pretty okay. familiar with it. And, yeah, like, I think this is actually kind of a bad episode. Like, it's super rushed, it's awkward, like, it bounces all over the place, like, it's... It's just not great.
Yeah, I would say, like, we normally say, like, yeah, this is a good episode, even if by that we mean it's just dumb and, like, fun. And, I mean, I enjoyed watching it because, well, because it's stupid. But, like, yeah, this is kind of a bad episode.
It's just, it feels very slapped together, like, more so than the show usually is. Like, it just, I don't know.
I mean, like,
it's weird that because, pacing like, is... relatively speaking, there's a lot of original footage in this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, there's relatively little Sentai going on, but it still feels like...
But they wrap their weird original footage around, like, a really, like, big deal piece of Sentai that, like, is super action-packed, like, whoa, end-of-the-world, like, monster fight. But around that, there's, like, a dance competition, and then they go to this island where they have to fight their fears.
Yeah.
It's almost like the whole middle part of the episode never needed to happen there. Yeah.
It's really strange, and also, like, I just, it's weird, because, like, saying a fucking Power Rangers episode is disjointed.
I said the pacing was off earlier, and, like, Power Rangers isn't paced good compared to most shows, but it does have a pacing that's fairly consistent among the episodes. Like, there's a pattern to how the episodes flow, and this does not... even try to follow that.
Well, it goes with the formula, kind of, but it's, like, out of order, and does the segments, the like, segments you have, your opener, your mid, your end, are, like, wrong. They just don't fit the normal.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like the first part of this two-parter should have ended with them falling on the Island of Illusion. Like, it should have been focused on the fight with Mutitus and Lokar, and then they get sent to the island at the very end, and they're like, where are we? And then to be continued.
Right.
Yeah, and maybe they couldn't do that because they didn't have enough Sentai footage. I'm not sure, but
well, they clearly didn't have a lot of fight footage because, like, they wasted a minute and a half on Megazord.
Right. So yeah, it's not a great episode. I hate to say it because, but, on the other hand, it had to happen eventually.
What? I mean, Bulk got schooled twice, so, I mean, there's some good in it.
Oh, yeah, there's funny moments in it. It's just not a... And, you know, we got our Tommy really bad one-liner and then realizing how bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, I always love those.
The putty fight was good.
Putty fight was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm mostly reeling from... Yeah, I'm mostly reeling from finding out that the show's version of Satan, or the Sentai's version of Satan, is basically Kabuki Sonic the Hedgehog.
You know, it makes
really
sense.
Throwing me off.
It really makes sense. Red,
Wade?
I'm just saying it makes sense.
How does that make sense?
Because it's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Well, when I think of Ultimate Evil, I think of Sonic
the
Hedgehog.
Like the worst thing ever created.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, he actually does look like when you see people try to make homemade Sonic costumes, and they look like real fucking bizarre. Mm-hmm. It does kind of look that way.
Like, all I'm saying is when the universe jumps into the total timing. Oblivion, Sonic's probably the last thing we'll see.
The timing for this would be about right, where there'd probably be ads for Sonic the Hedgehog games airing during this show.
Yeah.
Also, as a wrestling fan,
as
a wrestling fan, I could not look at Quagmire and not think of Hornswoggle. And it just I expect him to like magically go under the ring.
Because you're prejudiced against little people. That's why. No, I will mention, this seems like the place to mention it. I and a couple other people, looked multiple places to try to find out this actor for
Quagmire.
For Quagmire. Giggity. And on the fucking, Ranger Wiki page, it says ? As Quagmire. Nobody knows.
I choose to believe this guy was,
Trini's uncle. Like, there's just no credit for the actor whatsoever.
Like, there's basically two reasons this could have happened. One, it was such a, like, just random person they brought in who wasn't, like, part of the Screen Actors Guild or anything, and they didn't have to bother crediting. Or the person involved was so ashamed of what they'd done that they requested to be removed.
You left out the other possibility. He's actually a magical teleporting dwarf.
Okay, thanks.
How could I have missed that? He showed up to do his bit,
and then he left.
It's great, by the way, that you're implying that little people have actual, like, teleporting, rhyming powers. That's a thing that they do in real life.
Wait, no, they don't. Rhyming is a power? This one. This is a real magic man. He's not a
He's not saying they all do. He's not being a fucking...
Is it just, like, I am not a little person, so I guess it's not my place to decide... Little person doesn't seem any better than any other word. Like, that sounds super condescending and, like,
wrong.
Shitty. I think the problem
is most of the other words you could use for them have been used as, like, derogatory terms for so long.
Right.
That they don't want to associate with those.
Yeah, I know, but, like, that's my, I don't think that's a good solution either. None of them sound good.
vertically challenged?
No, you sound like a prick. Yeah. And there's a difference between a short person and a little person. Like,
this is threatening to veer into Seinfeld territory.
Person with dwarfism? But maybe they don't have dwarfism? I don't know!
So, anyway.
There's no nice way to describe a person with that condition.
Yeah. You could say they're short.
Yeah, but there's a difference between being short and being, like, it's a proportional difference. I don't know.
But you could just say they're short. Like, that's
true.
Not...
Yeah, so there's a short guy in this episode, and we don't know who he is. Mm-hmm. There you go.
He rhymes.
But anyway, so moving on, let's check back with us next week for the second part of this, which is partially a clip show.
No, it's not. I'm watching it. Oh, I guess it is in very small fits and spurts.
Yeah.
It's not a clip show.
No.
But there are clips.
Yeah.
So we have a couple listener questions this week.
Yeah.
Fuck yes, said listener. Didn't see yours.
Oh, and then you called attention to it, completely undoing the good job you did.
If you have questions for us, you can send them to us on Twitter at @teenswithtude. You can get us on Facebook at the Teenagers with Attitude group, or you can email us teenswithtude@gmail.com. So we got a couple this week. The first one, which I really like, is from Theodore Fluesevelt again, who's killing it, and he says, considering their personalities, who would you rather work for, Rita or Zordon?
Oh god.
Mm. Not in the context of the show, but just as your boss at Wendy's.
I've got to say, granted, not the show. If it's at Wendy's, that changes things.
Well, it can be anywhere.
No,
but
I think it needs to be at Wendy's.
Saying like, okay, fine. Okay. So at Wendy's.
Well, here's my thinking. Zordon is an asshole, yes, but Rita is actively abusive.
Yeah.
Got to go with Zordon.
Yeah. Also, Zordon's really lazy, and he doesn't seem to really give a shit what they do until he really needs them to do something. So you could probably slack off a lot on the job.
Yeah, Zordon would give you a task to do, and then he would just disappear, and, like, you would try to reach him and be like, wait, like, how do I do this? He never gave me the information I need, and then he'd be like, look within yourself, and you will find the answer. It's like, well, like,
that doesn't
thanks.
Tell me how to operate this cash helps. Register, Zordon.
Zordon, how do I fucking make a Baconator? Look within yourself, and bleed.
I mean, that would be obnoxious.
Behold the register.
But I mean, just in general, it sure seems like Zordon's employees have a much lower mortality rate.
Yeah, I will say the only thing I would genuinely be worried about working for Zordon is that he would, like, tell you to go take the trash out, you'd get hit by a car, and then he would be like, oh, also there's cars that, like, go, right near there, just heads up, cause he...
Stuff is always like, making dim at some points, but everything seems to work out for him in the end.
Yeah, that's true. Guess.
But yeah. I mean, here's the problem with Zordon, though. Like, say you're stuck somewhere and you can't get into work, and you like need him to let you in. He's not going to do that. He's going to let you sit outside that locked Wendy's all day, and then you'll get in trouble for having not opened up and served customers all day, even though you lacked the tools to get into the building.
So I guess that brings something up, which is. Are we saying this is literally Zordon, like a head in a tube, or
of
Zordon?
I just mean like Zordon, like if Tommy's tied up somewhere, Zordon's not gonna like send anyone to go help him or like untie him or anything. He's like,
right, I understand. I'm just saying for this question, are we saying it's actually
Zordon? I'm saying, in the kitchen there's a tube and Zordon's in there.
Okay.
I can totally imagine like a polo shirt with a necktie and just that big tube sticking out of the neck and then Zordon.
So in that case, I almost don't give a shit what their personalities are. It has to be Zordon because you can say like, yeah, you can talk to my manager if you really want to. And then you take them back to the back and there's a head in the tube and they go, goodbye forever. Goodbye. Goodbye forever.
On the other hand, though, imagine you've got the worst pain in the ass customer ever. And you're like, okay, talk to my manager. And it's Rita.
Okay, yeah. I'll be there.
Oh, man.
But, I mean, Rita would clearly be the type of manager to blame you for all her failings and take the credit for all your successes.
Yeah.
She's like the worst kind of boss you can have.
Yeah, but when a customer's bitching you out, she'll turn them into a horny toad.
Hold on. Counterpoint, though. Assistant Manager Alpha 5 versus Assistant Manager Goldar.
Oh, Assistant Manager Goldar would be great.
He wouldn't ever get
paid. He would totally have your back with all union shit.
He would totally make you take those union breaks and just like, you know, if you're feeling abused on the workplace, you should report this to the union. And like, he would help you go through the paperwork and have your back. Goldar would be the best.
I do have to say, though, as much as you're right that Rita would probably blame you and yell at you a lot, can you imagine the catharsis of that one customer that's such an asshole that just turns her on to them and you get to watch Rita fucking tear somebody a new asshole over a sandwich? I want that so bad.
Also, Rita's prone to migraines, so she probably wouldn't be in very often. She's probably taking a lot of sick days.
She literally beat her henchman with a cane in one episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. Like, the answer is Zordon. That said, Simon bringing up that you would get assistant manager Goldar, like, that's a lot of points.
Yeah, an assistant manager Alpha would be awful.
Here's the thing. I choose to believe that Rita would be the kind of manager who, like, stays up at the home Wendy's office on the moon. It only really comes down, like, once a month, and Goldar is the one actually running.
Oh, I see. Yeah. In that case, maybe. Especially if Goldar is listen, let me talk to her.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like on Orange is the New Black, you know? Rita would be Figurosa, and then Goldar would be the other guy, the nice one.
This is giving me a lot of, like... This is making me want to just be bros with Goldar.
Oh, yeah.
More than I expected.
Man, yeah.
Listen, I have said that we...
I would totally go out for drinks with Goldar.
I have said that this podcast has an unhealthy crush on Goldar for a long time now.
I mean, no, we totally
say
do.
Say what you will about his policies, but Goldar's a guy I'd like to have a beer with.
Yeah, he's a fucking evil gorilla wolf wing monster, but
werewolf,
like,
archangel.
Yeah, but he seems pretty chill. I don't know. Seems okay. But yeah, so I think Zordon, but then if you bring the assistant managers into it, maybe I would switch.
I mean, whatever. Alpha would be a pushover.
I mean, listen, I understand. Zordon gets some shit from us for good reason. But think of, like, how many times you're gonna get, like, cool laser guns and weapons and shit when you're like, hey, Zordon, the drive-thru window's broken. Behold the power axe! And you just get to break down the window.
Yeah, you're
but now
right.
You don't have a window.
Yeah, that's his problem, though. He's the manager.
Alpha will fix it off-screen. Exactly. It'll be fine.
And they'll replace it with a newer, better window that's more powerful.
That's true. Like, the Wendy's will burn down, and then he'll be like, no, there's a second, better Wendy's under the Wendy's.
Zordon, that comes wait a second, what?
That's what happens in Zeo.
Oh,
yeah, literally, that's what happens in Zeo. The command center explodes, and Zordon's like, nah, it's fine. There's a second command center, and it's better.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they justify the new set.
Zordon, yeah. That customer ran out, drove off without their drink. We need dinosaur power.
a T-Rex robot runs up to the car and hands him the
just dramatic close-ups of the soda machine and like putting the cup under it.
okay, you've sold me, Luke. You got me. You're right.
Like, yeah, I think you could just kind of laugh with the other employees behind Zordon's back over what a jackass he is while enjoying all the perks of having him.
But, and the other thing that we haven't mentioned is, like, Zordon appreciates you.
Yeah.
No, there would be so much positive reinforcement.
Like, at the end of every workday, he'd be like,
but,
you know,
on the other
Zach,
hand,
you flip burgers with a skill and determination I've never seen before. I'm so proud of you. Thanks.
Wait, what was that, Simon, you said about always being on call?
Well, yeah, with Zordon, you're just always fucking on call. You're like, you don't get a single fucking day off. He just calls you up.
He doesn't just call you up. He just teleports you to the Wendy's.
Yeah. Some stoner shows up
teleportation.
At 4 a.m. Oh,
man, I'm not even supposed to be here today.
The restaurant's been closed for 4 hours. Some stoner shows up at 4 a.m. at the drive-thru and he's like, oh, I'll summon somebody to help you.
Oh, God.
Behold the drive-through window. You see, there is a customer.
Behold
there.
The viewing globe. Do you mean the window?
Yes.
The viewing rectangle.
Fries are no longer on the menu. We now have thunder fries.
Yeah, he would constantly be introducing new menu items that are just old menu items, but like with cooler names.
Yep. Oh man. So, I'm totally on board with Zordon as a boss.
Yeah, that clearly got out of hand, but yes, that's a great question, and yeah, I think you're right. It has to be Zordon. I would love, if the third option was Goldar as your actual manager, I'd probably pick Goldar.
Goldar would get shit done. He would be the actual best.
No, I want Zordon to be, I want Goldar to be my buddy outside of work. I want to work for Zordon.
Yeah, Goldar works for the Hardys, and like, he and you meet up after. After
smoke breaks, like in the alley between the two.
Yeah, sometimes you bring each other food from the other place.
Now I want an episode where Zordon and Rita set up opposing restaurants across the street from each other.
He's like the Randall. Goldar's the Randall in, like, to your Dante, I guess.
Yeah, they're just in a competition to sell more burgers than the other time.
Oh my god. Zordon is fucking Mr. Krabs.
Exactly.
And,
Rita's Plankton.
Rita's Plankton.
Well, maybe it's just a really twisted version of Good Burger.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, we have to.
We went for three completely different references there. I love it.
We have other questions. That's called reference coverage. Yes. Every listener will get one of those, so they won't feel left out. Okay. So we have a second. We have another one. Veldrin asked, this is a non-Power Rangers question, and then we've got one more Power Rangers question then. What actor would play you in a biopic of your life? The best part about this is we have all seen pictures of each other, but aren't super familiar with what we all look like. So I'm going to tell you guys that through college, I was constantly asked if people had ever told me that I looked like Zach Braff from Scrubs.
Huh.
Oh my god, you totally do look like him.
To the point where the first time I ever went to a strip club when I was 21, a stripper was giving me a lap dance and then asked me, did you know you look like Zach Braff? And I was like, I fucking hate Zach. This so much.
I don't know, there's a lot of worse people to be compared to than Zach Braff.
I guess that's true. So that's my answer.
I don't know. I'm not happy about it. But Seth Rogen and Chris Pratt pre buffing up and becoming sexy. So there you go.
Yeah, early Parks and Rec Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
Yeah, Simon, you do kind of look like Chris Pratt. Yeah. I would give you that one. Sure. Yeah. So that means you need to get ripped, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, that's the next level. If I want to be like a intergalactic space hero now, I need to get ripped.
All right. Anybody else got
not
one?
Really. Don't watch a movie about me.
So I'm gonna go ahead and just say Gilbert Gottfried.
Probably.
Okay. I don't know about visually, but I think like personality wise, probably Michael Cera.
Okay, sure, I could see that.
I've gotten a lot of like, "Hey, did you know you look likes?" But it's always like a random assortment of just fucking fat white actors.
awesome.
Yeah.
So Kevin James.
Although I have gotten a couple of surprises. Like at one point, I was told I looked like the main character from Family Guy.
No.
And one time I got compared to that to George Zimmerman, the fucking dude with Chubby's kid. Yeah.
Awesome.
I was like, "Oh, that's not a compliment."
Yeah.
But,
Jesus.
Like all things considered, I did probably Wayne Knight. An actor who'd be playing me probably fucking Wayne Knight.
At least it would be enjoyable.
I can't be the only odd one. I'll go with Nick Frost.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's a good one. I could absolutely actually see Nick Frost explaining the morphing grid to me. So,
he's a big enough nerd to buy into it.
Yeah, so I'd be okay with that. So there you go. Last one for this week. James Henson points out, and we've talked about already, in the upcoming Sentai season, four of the five Rangers are animal people. How would Mighty Morphin change if all the Rangers had dino DNA and instead of morphing, transformed into their respective creatures?
Oh, God. I see.
Now, hold on. The reason I like this question is the last part. Would Tommy feel even more left out and awkward being a fantasy dragon instead of a real
dragon? Well, but he wouldn't be a fantasy dragon. He'd be the Dragon Zord.
Yeah, he'd be a Godzilla. Yeah,
he'd be the most awesome out of all of them.
No, would he literally just turn into the Dragon Zord? Like, not a skinned
version? You'll notice he doesn't call out dragon. He calls out Dragon Zord.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. So he would just be a robot.
Yeah.
So yeah, totally. He would be like, oh, okay, I'll just be over here, I guess.
I'll be here with my pachinko, like, chest laser and finger missiles.
I think that it would be a much different show, in that, like, obviously I don't think the actual robots, or the actual, you know, it's not like the T-Rex would put the pterodactyl on its chest. Like, they wouldn't.
Yeah, like, you couldn't really have the Megazord as.
No, that part wouldn't.
Oh, see, I was thinking they still had the Zord.
Jesus,
now
I'm trying to picture that. That's
when they morphed into the Power Rangers instead of having suits.
I'm basically picturing that scene from Venture Brothers where Hank and Dean are talking about Mecha Shiva,
oh, sure.
And then it like goes out of the fantasy and they're just on top of each other's shoulders.
Yeah. Luke, sorry, so you were saying...
No, I thought they would still have the Zords, they would just turn into like human-sized, like dinosaurs.
Okay.
Instead of having the suits.
So that
basically like
that
high
you get
school
a T-Rex.
Dragon Zord, but for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
And that means you get a T-Rex driving a T-Rex robot. So yes, please that. But he can't reach all the buttons, no. Which is why everyone else has to help him pilot the Megazord. yeah, I mean, I guess in that perspective, you know, you have basically three types of fights in the show. You have the unmorph fights with the putties. You have the morph fights, which are usually pretty much like, the same type of fight, like it's still martial arts. And then you have the robot fights.
Yeah.
So you would just be replacing that mid-level with like a Triceratops trying to gore putties.
Yeah, you'd lose all the weird weapons and stuff, but that's about it.
Yeah.
So actually, I think it would still work okay. It would be even goofier than this show is. Yeah, I'd watch that. That sounds okay.
It's hard for me to, like, even, like, conceptualize the idea of a show that is more insane than the current Power Rangers we already have.
I mean, you're basically describing almost Animorphs there, so...
Yeah,
it's Dinomorphs, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he asks, would this show be a part of the furry fandom? The way he has phrased the question, though, they would just be turning into those animals, so no, I don't think so. I don't think they're, in our version of this, they're not like a T-Rex man. It's just T-Rex.
It'd still be porn of them.
Well, of course. Yes, absolutely. That's just for sure. No question. There's porn of them now. I've seen it.
I don't like it very much. What was wrong with it? Give me your in-depth critique.
Well, it's just too much, like, they're completely covered. That's somebody's fetish.
Here's my problem
is when they're not in the suits, because whenever it becomes depictions of real people, I get a little uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's actually something that came up when I was reading the comic, which is that everyone looks so much like the actual person who played them that it's kind of weird.
It doesn't bother me so much when they're doing normal things, but when you're taking a real likeness and putting them into, like, sexual situations that not in, that feels like a bit of an invasion.
Because that's the thing, is you're not jerking it to, like, say, Jason, you're jerking it to Austin St. John.
Right.
And that's weird.
Wait, what's wrong with doing that?
That's
Austin St. John isn't in that video, though.
No, that's true. I would watch that show. I think there actually is like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ripoff where they turn in its kids who are dinosaurs.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. But
somebody's made that. It has.
It's more of a. I guess it's in the same vein, but I remember it being more Street Sharks like.
Yeah, Street Sharks.
Sure. Oh, yeah, but Street Sharks is a, like, Street Sharks is part of that whole, like,
you're right,
genre of shows trying to ape TMNT.
So that's kind of already
Street
done.
Street Sharks kind of the
animated.
Early example of TMNT ripoffs, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they definitely, like, that's been touched on, just not real, like, in live action. It would probably mean, do you think they would do stop motion?
It's extreme dinosaurs that we're thinking of.
Thank you. Do you think they would do stop motion animation?
No, I think it'd just be rubber suits. Like...
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
It depends, because if they're supposed to be like the actual animals, like doing bipedal or quadrupedal rubber suits would be a little difficult.
Kimberly would have to fly or something. Yeah. It would be weird.
But yeah, if they're anthropomorphic dinosaurs, rubber suits all the way.
So to answer, like, would it change the show? I don't really think it would change, like, the
structure. No, it would just change the fight scenes.
It would just be way fucking goofier than it already is. So, oh man. Okay. I enjoy all of these things, all these questions that we just talked about.
Yeah, good work, listeners. This was fun.
There was one that you didn't bring up that I saw.
Did I miss
one?
You
did, but I don't remember what it was. And it's bothering me because I saw that, like, oh man, I just want to engage this person right now, but no, I should wait for the show. But I don't remember what the question was.
Well, we'll find it and we'll do it next week. We will not miss it. But yeah, I don't have it up. So that's the three I got this week. So that said, that's going to do it for us this week. If you want to, follow us on, Facebook or, you know, iTunes or anything like that, that's cool. That would help us out. If you wanted to rate us, review us, that'd be awesome. And I think, Wade, did you want to tell people where they can find you on the internet? Oh. I should probably start doing this.
Sure. Yeah. I got a YouTube channel. It's just a Let's Play gaming channel, called Cruise Control. The Cruise is spelled K-R-U-S-E. I put up at least one video a day. So if you want to see more of me, check me out there.
And
or see any of you, since this is an audio
thing. Shut up. So did anybody else have, like, stuff they want to plug?
Yeah, sure. It's on temporary break while I get my computer situation sorted, but you should subscribe to Let's Place, which is a podcast devoted to ranking every video game ever produced.
And also, if you think that this show goes off topic, you should, and like that part of this show, you should go listen to Let's Place, because it's nonsense.
I don't know what you're talking about. Everything we talk about on that show is in service of objectively ranking all video games.
I mean, all I know is that...
Especially that time I took a survey about whether you'd rather have sex with a human woman or an automobile.
Yeah, so there you go. Great.
I would like to plug not subscribing to Let's Plays. That's my endorsement for this week.
Have anything this week, but stay tuned. I do have something in the pipeline that should be coming out pretty soon.
Awesome. I didn't know that. You'll have to tell me after we get off here, because I don't remember it. Maybe you told me and I forgot, and I'm bad. But, so.
And I would like to plug Let's Plays back up so that it has a positive plug on the balance.
Okay. So, two positives, one negative, rounds out to you should listen to it. It's pretty funny. So that's gonna do it for us this week. For Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Joel.
I've been Simo.
I've been Luke.
I've been Mike.
And I've been Wade.
And may the power protect you always.
What's the matter, Zach?
That's the matter! That huge snake! Can't you see it? Can't you see it?
What snake?
It's gonna bite me!
There's nothing there, Zach! Zach, there is no snake!